Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. To serve for today, the 14th Sunday after Trinity, I'm calling our vocations. It is written by the Most Reverend Archbishop Don T. Cahoon, late Metropolitan of the Catholic Church. And as we see, it was rather personally written or personally said, but it's a good sermon anyways. He first gave this September 5th, 1999. I need to apologize, at least to the person with whom I shall be riding home with this afternoon, for the utterly embarrassing cutesiness of scheduling both Awake, Awake to Love and Work and Come Labor On as hymns for the Labor Day weekend. We're missing Labor Day by a week. But that is not the most outrageous exploitation of Labor Day in the church that I've ever heard of. The first parish in the Episcopal Church, where I worked full-time, was so anti-sacramental that they did not even have communion at the Mass services on the first Sunday of the month, as even the lowest church parishes usually did. They scheduled Holy Communion instead for what they called special occasions. The special occasions tended to be the Sundays within three-day weekends, and where many of the parishioners could be expected to be safely out of town. On the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, the ill-attended communion service was dedicated to vocation and daily life. Paying attention to the issue a vocation in our daily lives is not a bad idea, as long as it is not used to shield people from Holy Communion. It is proper to think of on Labor Day, and on any other day for that matter, that God has callings, vocations, for everyone in the church. For most people, the word vocation suggests something explicitly religious, a call to the ordained ministry, perhaps, or a vocation to enter a convent. But every honest occupation and every reasonable position in life is a calling from God, too. He calls us to be mothers, fathers, wage earners of various sorts, students, retired people, and so on. You gotta feel called to be retired. We shall help ourselves to live at least a bit more calmly if we can look at who we are and what we do as things God intends for us consciously. As vocations, we can pursue for His sake. If we cannot imagine that it is God who has put us where we are, we should think about a change. The prayer book sums it up in its explanation of the commandment not to covet. I am to do my duty in the state of life into which it shall please God to call me. That is every Christian's vocation. Today's gospel suggests to us two things that all Christians ought to be doing, whatever their different vocations may be. The two things are, quite simply, obeying Jesus and thanking Him. Obedience and thanksgiving are two of the most important Christian virtues. Jesus goes into a city where there are 10 lepers. The lepers don't come near Him because they don't want to contaminate Him. Instead, they yell over, "Hey, Jesus, how about helping us?" Jesus yells back, "Go show yourselves to the priests." One of the jobs of priests in Israel was to certify healings from skin diseases. Skin diseases, from leprosy on down, kept people away from worship. Only a priest could let a former sufferer back in. But if someone went to the priest before he was really healed, then he contaminated the priest and further complicated his own problem. So when the 10 lepers went off to the priest on Jesus' say-so, it showed they had confidence in His power to heal them before they got there. And they were healed. Not because Jesus said, "You're healed," but because Jesus told them what to do, and they did it. We would have an easier path through this world if we concentrated on obeying what Jesus just says, just because he says it. That helps us to acquire the confidence that if we do what he says, things will go better for us than if we try to mastermind everything ourselves. After the 10 lepers realize they are healed, 9 go on about their business, and only the 10th approaches Jesus to thank him. Jesus asked rather mockingly, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus ends the story telling the man, "Go along, your faith hath made you whole." Jesus did not give the ingrates leprosy again, though it might have been tempting. The point is that thanking God for whatever happens completes the circle of faith. Being thankful reminds us that whatever happens to us and whatever we have all comes from God. Most of us are far quicker to condemn God when he doesn't give exactly what we want than we are to thank him for what he does give us. It isn't that God needs our gratitude or that he will pout if he doesn't get enough of it. He wants us to learn the pattern of how he deals with us. That will help us to appreciate and understand how he is truly our Father who loves us. We come to see it not only in the obviously good things for which it should be easy to thank him, but also for the not-so-pleasant things where we have to learn to push ourselves to thank him anyway. So awake, awake to love and work, and come labor on the main work God has for all of us to do, what he tells us to do, and then thank him for everything, remembering that what we have to thank him for most is Jesus' death. As the prayer book puts it, "We, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men, but above all for thine inestimable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever."